And let's pray together as we ask God to teach us through His Word this morning. Father, it is so good to gather together with others who have a passion to know Christ and to make Him known. Father, when we are together, there's something electric, there's something supernatural, spiritual, that we experience together as we worship You, as we sing songs that express our faith and our desires and our concerns, as we share those things from the depths of our hearts in prayer and through song. God, we draw near to You, we feel You draw near to us, and God, we praise You for the grace that You've shown us in Jesus. And I pray, Lord, this morning as we think about living out what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in fellowship with others who are disciples of Jesus, I pray in these next weeks that You would work and that You would help all of us to take the next step that we need to take in our relationship with You in terms of knowing You first and foremost, but then also knowing You better in the context of others and with others who know You also and who want to make You known. Lord, would You build this church for the sake of the name and the fame of Jesus Christ? And would You enable us to influence more people? And would You allow us to see more people through our witness and through our work as a church? Would You allow us to see many new people come to know Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior, and then to help them grow and know You better, and then come become themselves witnesses who lead others to know You? Father, we praise You. We commit this time to You. Enable us to listen this morning. Enable us to have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone wrote several years ago, "You are called to belong, not just believe." That's an important thing for us to think about, and for these next four Sundays beginning today, I'm going to be talking about what it means to be a faithful church member. But let me back up just a little bit from that as I begin this morning and tell you why I think that's incredibly important. Why it's important for you, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be committed to and to be involved in a particular church so that you can, with others, know Christ better as you get to know each other better and better, and as you encourage each other how you can live out in the context of a church what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Another statement I thought of in light of the one I just mentioned is this statement. I think this is another way of saying what I want to be saying over these next few weeks. If you believe in Christ, you belong in church. If you believe in Christ, you belong in church. Now, in some ways, that should go without saying, but it needs to be said because there are many who profess faith in Christ who don't come to church faithfully. As a matter of fact, some of you may have heard about a certain subset of professing Christians that are sometimes referred to as CEO Christians, Christmas and Easter only. CEO Christians. And there are those who profess faith in Christ who are almost never really around, except for maybe on those kinds of special occasions like Christmas and Easter. But there are also lots of people who profess faith in Christ who are around more than twice a year, who would even consider themselves faithful attenders, but if they looked at themselves and their attendance, would find out that they probably average being in church about twice a month. In other words, about half of the time. And it's important, and we're going to see that, I think, as we work through today's message and the messages to follow. It's important for you and for me, as people who are followers of Jesus Christ, to make the gathering that takes place in the church that we're a part of, to make that a priority. To make that a priority. But lots of people don't. Lots of people don't come to church faithfully who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. And more than that. Don't commit to church formally. That is, they don't become members. They don't actually commit. Now, let me just acknowledge as I begin this morning and talk about this, that I understand some of the feelings and some of the experiences that people have had that cause them to be incredibly reluctant to actually officially join a church and to become a member of a particular church. Lots of you here this morning have possibly had some pretty tough experiences in connection with maybe a church or churches in your past. You've seen some things, you've heard some things, you know some things, experienced some things in the context of the church that were not at all pleasing to God. And because of that, there is, especially among those who are younger, a reluctance for people today to commit to and to actually be involved in and a functioning part of a local church. I was reading a book several months ago along these lines, and someone said this: it has been said that the church is like a sausage factory. You're better off enjoying the bratwurst than actually touring the plant. And that's somewhat true in many situations. I mean, there are people who come and who enjoy the gathering and they enjoy the things that are a part of maybe coming when they come, but they don't really want to get involved in the inside and really become involved in the life of the church because sometimes it's ugly, sometimes it's smelly because churches are imperfect. And do you know why churches are imperfect? Because people are imperfect. And even those who've put their faith in Jesus Christ and who have God's Spirit within them and who are being conformed to the image of God's Son, all of us still have a ways to go. And so because of that, sometimes it can be messy if you get involved in the internals of a church. And so that's why some people just decide to just sort of date the church. Someone wrote a book several years ago called Stop Dating the Church. It's a great book, by the way. And what it's saying essentially is this: stop going to one place for a while and then going to another place for a while and then maybe go back to that first place for a while. You know, like you used to do when you were dating. You know, you might date a girl for a while or a guy for a while and then someone else and then someone else. And that's the way a lot of people relate to local churches. And in essence, what I want to say to you in this series is this: become committed to a church through membership, and then be a faithful church member. And what I'm going to do in this series very simply is this: I'm going to talk about what it really means to be a faithful church member. Now, let me anticipate what some people might be thinking as I've been talking so far. There are some people who maybe have been listening to me, and this is what you've been thinking or something like this. Some of you are thinking, Pastor, if you believe, you belong to the church. If you believe, you belong to the church. And that's true, but it's not all of the truth. Okay? That's true. If you are a believer in Jesus, you are a part of the body of Christ, the universal body of Christ, the spiritual body of Christ. Every person who genuinely trusts in Jesus as their Savior and is committed to Jesus as their Lord is a part of the universal church. That's true, but it's not all of the truth. So let me build on maybe what some of you were thinking. If you believe, yes, you belong to the church, but you also belong in a church. You also belong in a church. And let me just give you one thing that might help you explain why I say that. If you look up the word church in the New Testament, you look at every single time the word church is used in the New Testament, here's what you'll find. More than 90% of the time, it's referring to a local church, a specific church. Less than 10% of the time is it talking about the universal church made up of all believers everywhere who've put their faith in Jesus Christ. So I would say to you, yes, if you believe, you belong to the church, but you also belong in a church. Most of the New Testament was written to specific local churches or to leaders in specific local, particular local churches. Now, let me begin to unpack just a little bit as we begin this series this morning what I think biblically it means for a person to be a faithful church member. And maybe the best way to explain this would be to say what we're going to be talking about in this series is some commitments that you need to make, some commitments that we need to make that will make a difference. Making the commitments that will make the difference when it comes to church. And these commitments can be expressed in statements. We're going to look at one statement each week. So four statements over these next 4 weeks. The first statement is this. This statement expresses the first commitment that I want to ask you to make that will make the difference. I am a church member, and I will seek the community of my church. I am a church member, and I will seek the community of my church. The church is a fellowship. It is a community with Christ being the head and being the center. And God wants you, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, to be plugged in to a particular church in order to experience the community that you need to live out your discipleship as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, there are two things that I want us to see as we begin, and I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And here we're going to read one verse that tells us some important things about the first Christians in the first church in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we're just going to look at verse 46 as we begin, but I want you to notice two things in this verse that relate to the community that God wants you to experience in a church. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 says this, "And day by day, attending the temple together," some translations say the temple courts, or gathering at the temple courts together, "and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." Now look at two things in that verse. Notice first of all the reference to the temple. This is a reference to the Jewish temple. The majority of the first Christians were Jews in terms of their background and their faith, but then they came to put their faith in and commit themselves to Jesus Christ. And so what they began to do was, they began to gather in the temple courts. This was a really large area in the vicinity of the temple where there was plenty of room. Now we know from what we already have read in chapter 2, or could read earlier in chapter 2, that there are now at least 3,000 who have believed and who have formed this first church, and they're in the city of Jerusalem. And so what we're looking at in the first reference in verse 46 to their community is that they were attending or gathering together at the temple or in the temple courts. This was probably a larger gathering. That is, all of them were probably gathering to sing praise to God revealed in Jesus Christ and to pray together and to listen to teaching. So this would be all of them, all 3,000 of them. But then notice also in verse 46, it refers not only to the temple, but to their homes. They were also eating together, sharing food in homes. Now, obviously, this wasn't everybody. In other words, there weren't 3,000 people in a particular home having a meal. It's homes, plural, because what you have is basically, practically, there might be 10 who would gather in this home. There might be 15 or 20 in this home. There might be 5 or 6 in this home. But these believers were gathering in different homes and having meals together. Sharing meals, sharing food, sharing their lives with each other. And what I'm suggesting to you this morning is God wants every Christian to experience community in at least two ways in a local church. The first way is in a larger gathering. And in a larger gathering, Christians can experience passionate community. So I want to encourage you this morning. You're here in this larger gathering on this particular Sunday, but what I'm asking you to do is this. I'm asking you to make a priority of being in this gathering. If this is your church, or if this is going to be your church, I want to encourage you to make this particular gathering every Sunday morning a priority. Because God wants you, as one of His followers, to experience passionate community. And that's what I imagine as I read these words in Acts 2:46. Think about it. 3,000 new believers in Jesus. They don't have their own building at this point like we do. But they've all been connected with the temple, and so because that's their background, they still continue to gather there like they used to. But now they have a unique group that gathers there, a large, very large group that gathers in the temple courts. But now they're praising this same God, but the God that they now believe who's been fully revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, who has died as the Messiah to save us from our sins. Can you imagine the passion of these new believers in Acts chapter 2 when they gathered in the temple courts to sing songs of praise to Jesus, the Messiah, and to pray to God the Father, to the God of Abraham in the name of Jesus Christ? Can you imagine the passion that these early believers would have experienced when they were together, all together in this large gathering? I think about that sometimes, and I think that's what God wants this to be. God wants the gathering of all believers in a particular church, God wants it to be filled with passion. I was reading last fall during football season someone's post on Facebook, and they said this. I thought this was interesting. Just spent Saturday afternoon with 80,000 of my best friends. They were talking about being in a Nebraska football game. Just spent Saturday afternoon with 80,000 of my best friends. Now, what were they saying? They obviously weren't saying that they knew all 80,000 people by name, right? That they gathered with at the football stadium to watch the Cornhuskers play. They probably didn't even know a small percentage of all of the people there by name. But there was still a camaraderie that they were expressing in that post, that they felt with all of the people there. Even though they didn't know hardly any of them, they had a common passion, right? A passion for Nebraska football. And a passion, they wanted to see Nebraska win. They had the same goal, and they were passionate about it. Listen, that's what this gathering should be like. You may not, and practically speaking, you probably will never or could never know everybody in a service like this. But that's okay. Do you think the 3,000 believers in Acts chapter 2 knew everybody else in the group by name? No, there's just no way practically, right? So God intends for there to be, there's something dynamic about this that's unique. When large numbers of people who have the same passion, even though we may not know all of each other by name or know each other well, which would be impossible in a setting like that, but we have the same passion. And so in a sense, there's a community that we feel, right? There's a sense of camaraderie and community that we feel even with lots of people that we don't know, because they know who we know. They know Jesus, and we know Jesus. They love Jesus, we love Jesus. They have a passion to know Him and to make Him known. We have a passion to know Him and to make Him known. So I want to encourage you to say sincerely, I'm a church member, and I will seek the community of my church by attending regularly a weekly worship service of my church. Make this gathering a priority. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and this is your church. If it's not, then maybe your first step or your next step is to say, okay, I'm gonna plug in. I'm gonna be a part of a particular church. Maybe this church. It was exciting this morning in the discovery class that I teach on the first Sunday of every month for people who want to know more about our church. We had 8 people this morning, 8 adults in our in our class. People who at least are wanting to discover a little bit more, know a little bit more about who we are and what happens here and what our priorities are and our beliefs are and our values are. It's always exciting to do that. Maybe some of you, maybe your next step is to take that step and to say, okay, first Sunday, this is not the first Sunday of September, I know that, but I was doing grandpa business last Sunday, so we bumped it back 1 week, okay? But every other month, unless it's unique, we meet on the first Sunday. The first Sunday of every month, and anyone who wants to just discover a little bit more about this church and what it would mean to be a part of this church, we have that class. Maybe that's your step. Maybe you've already taken that step and you are a member. I want to encourage you to make this gathering a priority. The second thing I see in verse 46 is they were meeting in their homes, right? So if the temple was the place where there was a larger gathering, where they were all together, then what was happening in these individual homes when they were sharing meals? They were gathering in smaller groups. And I want to challenge you, because in smaller groups, you can experience intimate community. And that's another thing God wants for you if you're a follower of Jesus. You need both. You need passionate community, which is especially powerful when you're in a large group of people who have the same passion you do. But you need more than just that. You need intimate community. You need to get to know some people well. And you need to let some people get to know you well in a smaller setting so that you can have the kind of relationship, the kind of intimate, the kind of personal relationship with a few other believers that God wants you to for particular reasons. Now, I want to spend the majority of the time this morning talking about a few things, because I really want to focus on this point this morning, a few things that are important about gathering in a smaller group. If you've been coming to this gathering regularly or somewhat regularly, but you've not yet plugged into a smaller group in this body so that you can get to know people personally, so that you can know them and they can know you, so that you can serve them and they can serve you, so that you can really have a relational connection and experience intimate community with some other people, I want to encourage you to do that. That is so important. And I want to tell you why this morning. So turn to one other text, and we'll finish here this morning. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look at verses 24 and 25. And I want you to see what God wants for you if you're a follower of Jesus Christ in terms of this kind of community, intimate community. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. The writer of Hebrews says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, I want to mention three things this morning that you need if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And because you need these three things, you need to be in a small group. You need to gather together with other people in a small group. The first thing you need is relational involvement. Relational involvement. Look again at verse 24. It says, "And let us consider." Now the word there, consider, in this verse could also be translated study. Let us study, it could be read, how to stir up one another to love and good deeds. Or it could be translated like this: let us study one another so that we can stir up each other toward love and to love and good deeds. The idea is we need to get to know other believers well. We need to consider or study others who are followers of Jesus Christ so that we can know them well, and so that they in the process can come to know us well, so that they in that very personal kind of relationship will know how to encourage us, how to help us, because all of us are different. Some have different strengths. Others have different weaknesses. And as you get to know someone well, you can get to know that person's strengths and weaknesses, their struggles, their needs, their challenges, the issues in their life that are especially difficult. That can only happen in a smaller setting. And God wants that. God wants you and me to study other believers for the purpose of helping them, encouraging them, and to open up and allow them to know us so that they can help us in a very personalized way. That's what's being talked about here. Not just generic encouragement. That's good. I mean, we can encourage people that we barely know or that we know a little bit. But what's being spoken about here is something that's deeper than that, where there's been some consideration that's gone into it, right? Consider one another. There's been some thought. There's some knowledge. There's some understanding of each other that allows us to do more than just generic encouragement, but specific encouragement because we know each other well. That's what's being talked about here. You need relational involvement if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You need this kind of intimate community that's being spoken about or implied here in this verse so that there can be the second thing. You see, you need not only relational involvement, but you need mutual encouragement if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And you need mutual encouragement from those who know you, who've considered how to encourage you, and that you've considered how to encourage. That's what should be happening in our life groups. We should be getting to know each other in a way that allows us to specifically and intelligently really help each other in every way we can to be encouraged spiritually, to be encouraged morally. That's what's being talked about here. In verse 24, we're to consider how to stir up one another. That is, how can I motivate you? How can I inspire you? How can I stir you up to love and good deeds? And then in verse 25, he says, encouraging one another. How can we do that? That's what this is all about. We need this. All of us do as followers of Jesus Christ. And then the third thing you need as a follower of Jesus is spiritual development. I mentioned earlier that churches aren't perfect because people aren't perfect, right? Well, all of us are far from where we should be spiritually. And so we need to develop. We need to grow spiritually. All of us need to grow. No matter how much you know, you still need to grow. Because ultimately, growing is not about knowing. Now, fundamentally it is. That's where it begins. But you can know the Bible backwards and forwards and still not be like Jesus at all. You've met people like that. I've met people like that. Know the Bible backwards and forwards, but they're anything but like Jesus. So what we're talking about here is growing in Christ-likeness, growing in character, becoming the people God wants us to be. And that happens when we commit ourselves to and pour ourselves into a group of people where we can know and be known, where we can serve and be served, where we can love and be loved, where we can confront and be confronted when necessary. Listen, we all need that kind of accountability. And it only happens in the context of trust and relationship. And that's what these verses are ultimately insinuating we need. We need to be a part of a smaller group. Because in a smaller group, Christians can experience intimate community, and we need that. We need that. All of us need that. I want to call your attention as we finish up to a second insert. Maybe you've been using this one, the one that has the spaces for you to fill in during the message. But there's another one that looks like this. And it's a listing of all of the life groups, or almost all, I should say, of the life groups that we have in our church. And I want to give this to you this morning. I want you to see this. I want to call this to your attention today, because if you're not involved in a life group, whether on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock or in a home life group, because we have different groups also that meet in homes and even in other places in the community, If you're not involved in a life group and you're a follower of Jesus, you need to be involved. You need to commit to pursuing close friendships through participation in a smaller group of Christians. And what we've done here is just listed the different life groups and all of the studies and series that are on this sheet are going to begin either this Sunday, this next Sunday, or sometime this next week or the next week after this Sunday. So Sunday, September the 21st is when all of these new series are going to begin in different Sunday morning life groups. And the ones that aren't on Sunday morning, their series are going to either begin this next week or the next week after this next Sunday. There's going to be a study through the book of 1 Peter. You can see that. Hebrews in another group. Genesis in another group. So all these are through the books, through these books of the Bible. There'll be a study of Gideon for ladies. There'll be a study of a series called Unglued, Making Wise Choices in the Midst of Raw Emotions for Ladies on Sundays and Tuesdays. You can see that. There are also a couple of sermon-based life groups that meet, and basically what they do is they use the questions on the back of the listening guide that you maybe have been filling in the blanks on this morning. They use the questions on the back to help them think more about, more broadly and more deeply about the message that you hear on Sunday mornings. There are a couple of groups like that. There's actually one not listed, but that's because that group is still in flux a little bit about specific scheduling. But we have a couple of groups like that. Confident Parenting, if you're a parent and you feel like you need some help to be the parent your family needs, then that group will begin next Sunday morning. Foundations is a class that I will be teaching beginning next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock that lays the foundation for what it means to be about the work of growing yourself as a disciple of Jesus and then how you can help other people come to be disciples of Jesus. That'll start next Sunday morning. And then another series, Love and War. This is on marriage, and if you see the need or have a desire to strengthen or improve your marriage, then that's another life group that you might consider. Again, all of these are starting within the next week, some this next week, most this next Sunday, and then some a little bit the week after, or starting that next week after this next Sunday. The details are there. If you have questions, you can call the church office, you can email us, and we can help you with any questions that you might have. We want you to plug in so that you can experience the kind of community, the kind of intimate community that God wants you to experience as a follower of Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you have in one way or another said to Jesus, I will follow you. That's what it means to be a Christian. You trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross as your one and only hope of salvation and forgiveness. But you also commit yourself to follow Jesus as your leader, as your Lord. And so what I want to ask you to do this morning is to follow Christ in this way. Follow Christ. Begin to flesh out your discipleship more fully by being a part of a smaller group if you aren't already. And if you are, continue to be. Continue to be a part of that group. And be a part of helping that group to be open so that there is that ability to know. There's the opportunity to know and be known because people are sharing openly and honestly about their struggles and their needs. That's what we all need. And I want to encourage you to be a part of that, to say, Lord, I will follow you, and I'll follow you as it relates to this particular aspect of discipleship as a part of a community of faith, a community of people who follow you like I do. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you've not yet committed yourself to him as Savior, that's your next step. To trust in Christ alone and only and what he did on the cross for you in order for you to be forgiven and to have a relationship with God and to have a new beginning as his follower. Trust him. Commit yourself to him if you've not done that. Let's bow and let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to follow you. Help us, Lord, to in these next few moments to begin to follow you in the way that you want us to, in community with other believers in a particular church. And Lord, I pray for those who've not yet said, I will follow you, who've not yet said, I want to follow Jesus and and live my life for Him. Lord, would You work so that people today would maybe take that step and commit themselves to begin as disciples, to begin following Jesus personally. Lord, we love You, and we pray that You would build this body of believers here to be what You want it to be, and help us together to stimulate each other to love and good deeds, to stimulate each other to follow You more fully and more closely. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand if you would, and let's sing a song that expresses our commitment to follow Christ.
Where You go, I'll go. Where You stay, I'll stay. When You move, I'll move. I will follow. All Your ways are good, all Your ways are sure. I will trust in You alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in You alone. Where You go, I'll go. Where You stay, I'll stay. When You move, I'll move. I will follow You. When You love, I'll love. How You serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow You. Yeah, I will follow You. Into the world, light into my life. I will live for You alone. You're the one I see, knowing I will find all I need in You alone, in You alone. Where You go, I'll go. Where You stay, I'll stay. When You move, I'll move. I will follow You. Whom You love, I'll love. How You serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow You. Yeah, I will follow You. In You there's freedom for my soul. In You there's joy, unending joy. And I will follow. Where You go, I'll go. Where You stay, I'll stay. When You move, I'll move. I will follow You. Whom You love, I'll love. How You serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow. When You go, I'll go. When You stay, I'll stay. When You move, I'll move. I will follow You. Whom You love, I'll love. How You serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow You, yeah. I will follow You, yeah. I will follow You, yeah. I will follow You, yeah.
Amen. Remain standing for our benediction. Let me just remind you, if you are a member, we're going to have a business meeting in about 5 minutes after we dismiss, so there'll be time for guests who would like to be dismissed. Only members would be able to participate in the membership meeting today, and so that will be following in just a few minutes, but let me lead us in prayer as we are dismissed this morning. Father, I pray that what we've just sung would really be the desire of our heart, that we would desire to follow you wherever you lead, to do whatever you call us to do and lead us to do. I pray, Father, that we would love who you love. And Lord, we know you love your people. You love all of those who have trusted in you. And so, Lord, we want to love and learn to love and love deeply those that you, some of those that you love and have called who love you. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us as we continue to follow you, as we live out our discipleship, to see what you're calling us to do and how you're calling us to be a part of community in your church, in a church. Lord, we love you, and we pray you'd lead us as we leave this morning and as this service ends. Help us to remember, really, that the service is beginning for those who are your followers, because we live to serve the world and to serve them and serve you by serving them. So, Lord, lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.